Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about my MIBI scan. I'm just going to pause a little bit as I actually drive out of the medical centre. So a MIBI scan is a myocardial infusion scan to see that your heart is getting the full amount of oxygen, or, you know, it's not been oxygen starved by any point. And so that's what I've had, and I'll see if I can describe it. So it took a good 4 hours to do. So it's obviously an involved process, but I suppose it's supposedly a very good process going up here. So what to do? I thought I was going to do exercise in the middle of it. So they photograph the heart before exercise and after exercise, subtract the two images and see whether your heart has been perfused with oxygen correctly. I didn't actually know what they were going to do. So what happened is I had a heart operation, heart stress test, a few wobbles on the heart stress test at very high rates, and then off to this process. And one of the comments I didn't make is, thank goodness Australia's not gone to war. So it means that we've got a slightly smaller economy than the US, but probably as, oh, obviously not the same. Well, I think the rich people at the, it's hard to say, a poor person in the US is stuffed, but a poor person in Australia couldn't do better. And I think Australia, I have to work it out whether we've got the longest lifespan on the planet. And that's largely because we're not doing anything particularly good. We're just fixing people up and just pushing them, you know, further and further into the 80s and 90s and stuff like that. And it really doesn't matter how good you are. We've decided we're not going to invade anyone. We're not going to have a fleet of, you know, aircraft. We're going to pay for this big time, because our country is probably going to be invaded or taken over by stealth or whatever it is. We're a wealthy country, and I say that as I'm driving past continuous construction, road building and bridge building, and continuous work and construction, laying down optical fibres. So that's happening all over the world. China has gone obviously completely gangbusters. What is it? They need a hospital, so they're going to build massive hospital in a few weeks, a couple of hospitals in a few weeks in an area. Sort of, I don't know what's going on over there. However, let's go back to the scam. The first scam is you go in there and they take a few things from you to get your weight bracket, just check your weight bracket, and then they dose you up with technetium 99. Now, I'll give you a little bit of a story about technetium 99. Technetium is not a naturally occurring element. There is no radioactive process that produces it. So we can have unstable radioactive elements like uranium, for instance, and some trace amounts of other elements which just occur due to natural radiation. Technetium itself is due to neutron capture of molybdenum. And so what happens is that you make molybdenum 99, molly, quite a nice metal, a moly alloy, so a really fantastic alloy, and it's used for lubricants. It's just heaps of things, molybdenum disulfide. But you get some of this molybdenum, and you neutron capture, and that's got a radioactive lifetime of several days, and its daughter radiation is technetium 99, which has got a lifetime of several hours, or about 8 hours, half-life, 8 hours half-life. Ideal for radiation stuff because it's got a radiation window pretty much on the majestic treatment window. So you are hot, and a good fraction of the time that you're hot, you are being imaged. So it's sort of like the ideal thing. If you don't want to be have a huge radiation load and a huge and a small imaging fraction, and obviously the other way around, you want to be sufficiently radioactive to see. So ideal in terms of biological, this is good. Now they put this to a marker which is taken up by the mitochondria. So the mitochondria takes oxygen and sugar and recharges the ATP in your cells and in your heart cells. Your heart is sort of mitochondria city. So your average skin cell might have one, maybe two mitochondria. So mitochondria, how can it have multiples of one organs? Well, mitochondria are actually slave parasites. So if it's like they're bacteria. So it sounds awfully like the storyline of Star Wars. There's these little living things which live in all matter. The mitochondria is exactly that. I forgot what it's called. Star Wars has something very similar to, sort of like a confused version of reality. So we are actually slave drivers. We've got an archaic cell, and we've taken a bit of bacteria to form our new eukaryotic cell walls, and these little, a lot of the organelles in ours are captured things. And so mitochondria are so much a different life form is that they don't share our DNA. The mitochondria has its own DNA system. It is actually a second organ. It would be, if we didn't know it, we would class it as a second form of fully parasitic life. In fact, mitochondria is the ultimate victor because it has, as a bacteria, organized all these different life forms from plants to animals, every animal to use version of it. And in a sense, it's the aim of mitochondria is to reproduce more mitochondria. But the mitochondria are the energy cells, and in your heart, each blood cell has five. Each heart cell, which is a special type of muscle cell, heart cell is a combination of a nerve cell and a muscle cell. That's when the and so therefore the actual nerve pulse travels through the muscle. There you go, isn't that incredible? And so you're the technician, and it injects into you, and then you just quietly, calmly go over to the camera. The camera takes about twice as long first time around, and essentially you're there, and you've got your eyes closed, you've got this thing pushing up against you, and you realise that there's this huge, big, it's not like an old TV. Not the this is the plasma TV type of thick plasma TV. Two right angles have been pushed around you by a robot, and it's going across. It takes about 20 minutes first up to photograph you, and then it pulls away, and then it's arms up furthermore, and you get pushed into a CT scanner, which is a X-ray machine, a spinning X-ray machine, which produces a three-dimensional image. I don't know how this all works. And then it comes out, and then you have to turn over, and then you get photographed from your back. All the time, your heart pulse being monitored. And then you have to go up through exercise. Now, what happens now is that getting people to exercise is too much fuss. And so what they do is they get the doctor in there with you, and they inject adenosine, Prendinosin is related to adrenaline. I don't quite understand the difference between adenosine and adrenaline. It was injected into you, and the thing I felt is my arms being a bit hot and possibly a little bit of warmth on part of my forehead. That's all. And obviously your heart racing a little bit more as they monitor it, and then they're saying your heart rates, your heart blood pressure. I'm going, whoa, 75, 120. Wow, that's great. When my heart pressure went up to 147, they said, enough, I've got enough. And then you go back down, sit back and relax. Now, what has happened is that they've got this biological marker with the technetium, and your heart only just has to work. And then it loads up the radiation, it gets loaded into your heart the more your heart works. And so it is got basically remembers, the heart remembers being worked. So if the heart, part of the heart didn't actually get to do any work, it doesn't get the extra radiation. And so what happens is, after a while, let's say after 3/4 an hour, that's when it's the machines are free, go in, get another photograph. This time, rather than 20 minutes, it took, say, 12 minutes to scan, same scan for CT, back scan, down to 8 minutes scanning through. And essentially, machines operate until they get the correct count. So they don't have a timing, they have a counting. So it really means that everyone gets effectively the same radiation dose, or the same radiation count out, but they have a different amount of going out. And old people get as good as scans as young people. Young people go in there because their heart's all pumping full of shit and all that type of stuff. So an old person radiates a lot less because they're a lot more calm, a lot less. They're almost halfway to being dead. So that produces two differential scans. So you've got a baseline and an increased scan, and it's sort of like, it's not the sort of impressive things of a contrast scan, contrast CT scan, where you can see every little nick, but this is just telling you, basically, is the heart under stress? And can I say, as a heart person, you are not, you can't really, if you do suffer stress, you have to really be absolutely sure you don't report a stress, you know, someone being mean to you, or unreasonable causes a bit of heart pressure. And if you're sensitive to it, you're onto it, and obviously you're looking at it, but you can't report that, because once it's not the boy who called wolf, you've got to say, oh, I feel this, but I think it's due to this factor, this various things. And so what they do is that they more and more don't listen to you, they just take you up. You could be a dog or a cow, and they could scan you and pick it up. So it's a good thing for me. I don't have to. We're not doing some sort of Darwinian selection that people who are bad actors, bad at doing charades. Three letters. The thing is Heath. No. Oh, he's dead. Oh, I think he was trying to act out, I've got a heart attack. So we more and more we take buds and trackers, and the poor police have to go around trying to work out a crime, who did what, whereas the doctors just go straight through. It's very interesting speaking to people in the waiting rooms, because they're having a test. I have spoken to a number of people. I'm so depressed speaking to people who are climate deniers, Big Bang deniers. I've spoken recently to a Big Bang denier. the climate denier speaking to it, and he said, oh look, how do scientists know anything? It's just their opinion. And he's going in for this massive scientific test, which is going to give him drugs which would kill him and all this type of stuff. It's just so bizarre. And they've got no idea of how it works. And same true for me. I don't know how good this one is. I don't know to what extent you can actually say that this is a good thing. Now, we'll go back in. There's people doing some mowing. I'm back home, and I'll be back home to do probably some more podcasts. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to that MIB, Myocardial Infusion, and MIBI. I tried to say it was an MIBI. I don't know. We don't do those. Oh, you mean a MIBI? Oh, yes, a MIBI. Everyone calls it a MIBI. And it's good old Australians do it. G'day, mate. I got this piece of equipment from Germany. Now I did my course on it. Bloody hell, all that type of Aussie. So the only problem is, in Australia, if you get sick, you get the absolute war. You're sick and you don't live in remote Australia, obviously. You get massively good treatment, but the downside is that everyone treating you have got broad Australian accents. It's funny, but it wouldn't be funny, say, if you were a Pol. You'd be, oh my God, get me out of here. Get me back to the mother country.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.